Father, as we think about our responsibility to each other and our relationship with one another, we pray for insights that will be helpful to us as we seek to live out our lives for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. When I looked up the word gossip in the dictionary, its first meaning surprised me, as it may surprise you. Originally, it came from two old English words, the word God and the word sib. And it's changed in its pronunciation to become gossip, and it means godparent or good friend. But the second meaning of the word was the one I was looking for. It means a person who chatters or repeats idle talk and rumors, especially the private affairs of others. Now, the first thing I want to emphasize this morning is this. You don't necessarily need to talk to someone else in order to gossip. You can gossip to yourself. You can talk to yourself about someone else. I remember years ago reading a comic strip about a person who was walking to the home of a friend to borrow the friend's car since his own had broken down. As he walked along, he began to gossip to himself about his friend. Suppose his friend refused to loan him the car. Suppose his friend would be unwilling to loan him the car. Suppose his friend said no. And the more he gossiped with himself, the angrier he got. Finally, he arrived at the home of his friend and knocked on the door. By now, he was outraged with his friend. And when his friend answered the door, he burst out, "I didn't want to borrow your old car anyway." Have you ever done something like that? I know I have. I do it all the time, unfortunately. I'll begin to think about someone or something and some relationship, and I'll begin to gossip with myself about it. And before I know it, I begin to put the worst case on it. Before I'm done with this internal gossip, I may be fuming and angry. So the first thing I want to make clear is that gossip is not only with others, it may be just an internal dialogue with one's own self. Now, what I really want to talk about this morning is relationships. And, of course, the most personal and intimate relationships are those within the family. So what I'm going to say is relevant to all of our relationships, but they are most relevant of all to those intimate, those close, those family relationships. They have to do with the relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children, as well as our relationship to friends and to others. Now, gossip is a way we trash another person. In the Lord's Prayer, we Presbyterians say, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And someone has laughingly said, that's because our Presbyterian heritage came through Scotland, and a Scotchman had rather be forgiven his debts than anything else. But a little Methodist boy was taught the other way. He was taught, "Forgive us our trespasses." However, he misunderstood. He had never seen a trespass. He didn't know what one was. And he thought it sounded like something else. So he prayed the Lord's Prayer, and he said, "Forgive us our trash baskets, as we forgive those who trash basket against us." Now, actually, that's a wonderful prayer. Gossip is a trash basket where we trash the character or the actions or the intentions of other people. Do you need to be forgiven your trash baskets? Most of us do. You know, most of us are guilty of digging around in the garbage of other people. Maybe you remember some years ago a young reporter who worked for the National Enquirer. That says a lot right there. He was named Jay Gurley. And when Kissinger was Secretary of State, Mr. Gurley said he was looking for news, and he made national news himself, if you'll remember, when he collected 5 bags of Mr. Kissinger's garbage and started going through the trash. Now, do we do that? Are we guilty of going through other people's garbage looking for things so we can trash them? Now, there are 4 major points I want to make this morning. There are 4 things I want to say about garbage. And here is the first thing. is the trash really trash? There are some moral standards in the Bible that are clear and unequivocal. For example, the Ten Commandments are very clear. Someone said to me this morning, they're not God's ten suggestions, they're His Ten Commandments. And they're very clear. But there are other things that are not as clear. An illustration is the fact that there was a time, particularly when I was young, when playing cards or dancing or going to the movies was considered sinful, and many preachers took those things as the topic of their sermon. We may need to get back to movies today, but back then they did. Now, there are some denominations that say women may not wear makeup, and there is a denomination that says using gasoline motors to farm is sinful. So we need to be very careful how we determine what is sin. For example, St. Paul tells us, one believes he may eat anything, while the weak man eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who abstains, and let not him who abstains pass judgment on him who eats, for God has welcomed him. Then St. Paul adds, who are you to pass judgment? So we have to be careful in determining what is sinful. What may be wrong for me as I deal with God may not be wrong for you. So unless there is some breach of a clear moral principle, we are not to judge one another. As St. Paul says, we are to welcome one another. But he says, not for disputes over opinions. So first, is the trash really trash? You see, one man's junk may be another man's treasure, and if you don't believe it, go to a garage sale. Now here is the second principle. Is it trash to be picked up by the garbage truck? Out in our neighborhood, there are some things that the garbage truck people won't take. They say it really isn't trash, and I will have to hire someone to haul it away. So how do you tell if it's garbage truck trash? Let me suggest four little questions to ask in deciding. Here's the first question. Is it true? That is, do you know for certain yourself, beyond dispute, that what you're telling is the absolute truth? Did you see it yourself? Sometimes we pass on third and fourth-hand information as though it were the absolute truth, and we saw it ourselves when we didn't. In the process, it gets terribly exaggerated. When I was a child, we had parties and we'd sit in a circle, play a little game called gossip. And one person would start a little story, tell it to the next, and pass it around the circle. And when it got back around, the story bore no resemblance to the original story. Now, my wife said when she was little, they played a game like that called telephone. And then my daughter said the reason we played gossip because they hadn't invented the telephone when I was little. Sometimes we believe things because we don't like a person or because what we hear fits our preconceptions about that person. Therefore, we believe it because down deep, we want to believe it. Second question, not only is it true, but is it fair? That is, do you know the circumstances? Given the circumstances surrounding something, does that change our perspective? For example, suppose a storekeeper hits a person with a baseball bat. And that's the truth. That's what happened. But is that fair by itself? You see, if that person was robbing the store and was threatening the life of a clerk with a knife, that changes the context, the perspective, doesn't it? So is it true? Is it fair? Third, is repeating the gossip redemptive? That is, does repeating it help the person? Is that your intention? Does it in any way act to help that person understand what he's doing and change his attitudes or change his behavior or otherwise be different? Is it redemptive? And then the fourth question, is repeating it useful? Why are you doing it? Is it useful? Does it help anybody? Does it serve some useful purpose? For example, the Pharisees criticized Jesus for eating and drinking with sinners. But did their criticism serve a useful purpose? All they were doing was trashing his character. On Palm Sunday, when the crowds cheered him, the religious leaders criticized them and they said, "Why don't you tell your disciples to stop cheering?" And he said, "If I told them to stop cheering, the very stones would burst out." So is it true? Is it fair? Is it redemptive? Is it useful? And if it doesn't meet those tests, that's not garbage to be picked up. So first, it's trash really trash. Second, is it trash the garbage truck will pick up? Here's the third thing. Does your garbage truck run on biblical wheels? You know, the Bible makes it clear that God has some very specific standards dealing with our relationship to others. For example, in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 20 and 21, we read, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart." And that's the source of a lot of gossip. Do not hate your brother in your heart. "But you shall reason with your neighbor, lest you bear sin because of him. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Does your garbage have then some love wheels? Here's another wheel our truck ought to have. Over in Galatians 6:1, we read, "If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him," listen to this, "in a spirit of gentleness." Now, I've heard viciousness and condemnation and harsh things said, but how about gentleness? Do you have a gentleness wheel on your truck? Our scripture for this morning gives us another wheel for our truck. Jesus says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." That's the private wheel. Now, a lot of us don't have that wheel on our truck. We'll go to others. We'll go to the public. We will do anything but go to our brother. When that wheel falls off our truck, we end up dumping our garbage in the public street. You ever notice that? When we don't go to someone in private, our truck tips over and we dump garbage that ends up trashing everything. See how it works. A woman who had spread a false story about another person confessed to her pastor that the story was false and asked his forgiveness. The wise old pastor said he would pray for her on the condition that she would do several things. And she said, fine, she would do anything. He told her to go home, to kill a black chicken, pluck all of its feathers, put them in a basket, and bring them to him. She complied. Then he told her to walk through the town, scattering the feathers at each street corner, and then go to the bell tower of the church and let the wind blow the rest of the feathers away. When she had done this, she returned, and the pastor said to her, "Now, go through the village and gather the feathers again, and see that not a one of them is missing." She looked at him in amazement and said, "Why, that's impossible. The wind has blown and scattered them everywhere." "Ah," said the pastor, "that is so. But while you are forgiven, never forget the damage your words have done that can never be undone." So some wheels for our garbage truck are love wheels, gentleness wheels, and private wheels where we go to our brother in private before we dump garbage on the street and scatter feathers to the wind. First, then, is the trash really trash? Second, is it garbage truck trash? And third, does our truck have biblical wheels? Now, here's the fourth thing. Does Jesus drive our garbage truck? That is to say, in hauling our garbage around, do we do it in a Christ-like manner? Sometimes our motives are unworthy of us, and we've gotten garbage as a consequence all over ourselves. Sometimes our motives are jealousy, or envy, or resentment. You remember the story in the Gospels where the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus who had been taken in adultery. And they said to him, "Lord, according to the Mosaic law, she's to be stoned to death. We caught her in the act of adultery. But what do you say?" And you know, they really didn't care a thing about that woman, and they really didn't care what Jesus said. All they wanted to do was to trash his character. But the motive of Jesus was restoration. And he said to them, he said, listen, the first one of you that has no sin, throw the rock. And then when none of them could, he said to her redemptively, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Over in 1 Corinthians, St. Paul says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? And you know, when we act that way, we are despising our brother. Jesus put it this way, why do you see the speck which is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Well, that's plain, is it not? And do you remember what Jesus said about driving a garbage truck? He said, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall yourself be judged. And I certainly don't want to be judged by my standards. Yes, are we Christ-like when we drive our trucks? And do we want to be forgiven our trash baskets as we forgive those who trash basket against us? You know, gossip can destroy a family. It can divide a session or a church. Aesop had a fable about four bulls who were great friends. There was a lion roaming about who wanted one of those bulls for dinner. However, every time he attacked, the bulls would get together and they collectively could fend him off. But one day, as they were walking, one bull was lagging behind and the lion sneaked up and whispered, have you heard what the other bulls are saying about you? And before long, he had destroyed their confidence in one another, and they split up and went in four different directions. And as a consequence, the lion had four meals. I once read about a preacher who had on his desk a special book entitled Complaints of Members Against One Another. And whenever one of his members called on him to complain about another member or to tell him some trash about another member, the pastor would say, well, now here is my complaint book. I will write down what you say, and you can sign it. And then we will deal officially with it, and when the time comes, I know you will witness to it because you have signed it. However, he said, no member was ever willing to sign his name to his trash. And he said, in 40 years, he never had an entry in his complaint book. Let us be sure of several things when we get ready to dump our trash baskets. Let us be sure that there is real trash, that it is trash the garbage will pick up, that our garbage truck has biblical wheels, and that there's a Christ-like driver at the wheel of the truck. And then let's remember this, that the place to dump garbage is at the garbage dump, not on the streets, not among people. Finally, let us be sure we're willing to put our own name on our trash basket. Like Jesus said, with what judgment we judge, we shall ourselves be judged. Let us pray.